Our scripture reading for this morning is from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and we'll be looking at verses 21 through 34, and today I'll be reading from the Good News translation. There was a woman who had suffered terribly from severe bleeding for 12 years, even though she had been treated by many doctors. She had spent all of her money, but instead of getting better, she got worse all the time. She had heard about Jesus, so she came in the crowd behind him, saying to herself, if only I could touch his clothes, I will get well. And she touched his cloak, and her bleeding stopped at once. And she had the feeling inside of herself that she was healed of her trouble. At once, she knew that power had, at once Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples answered, "You see how the people are crowding around you? Why do you ask, 'Who touched you?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. The woman realized what had happened to her, so she came trembling with fear, knelt at his feet, and told him the whole story. And Jesus said to her, my daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your trouble." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask for you to speak to us today through this, your word, and through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, several years ago, I was coming back from a continuing ed conference at Princeton Seminary, and it had been a long week, and we'd covered a lot of material, and it was a long day, but before I left, I decided to go out with a group of friends before hitting the road, and that usually, you know, takes longer than you expect. And so I started to get on the road, and I was convinced I could make it home by, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, because I wanted to avoid another hotel room expense. But I was wrong. About 11 o'clock at night, I'm driving along the freeway, and I don't find this. I'm falling asleep at the wheel. Not a good thing. So I turned into this exit, and there was this little mom-and-pop motel somewhere in the hills of Pennsylvania. And so I pulled in, got a room, and it took me, I think, about 30 seconds to fall asleep. Well, the next morning I got up and I went into the motel office to check out, and there was a woman behind the counter at the motel office who was visibly shaken. You could tell something was wrong. She had red around her eyes. You could tell she'd been crying. And I asked, "Is everything okay?" And she started sobbing. And there was a man that came out from the office, and he gave her a hug, I assumed her husband, and he was tearing up. And I'm like, "Is everything okay?" And they told me the news. One of the young men in their small town they'd just learned about this, had been killed in fighting in Iraq. And the young man was the son of dearly loved neighbors, and this couple had watched this young man grow up from birth, and they loved him like a son, and now he was gone. And after doing my best, I mean, what do you say? Doing my best to offer some words of comfort, I went to the little diner next door for breakfast. And there were about 15 people there, and my guess is they were all locals, and you could tell it was like this depression, this fog, this malaise that had covered the room. The news had spread quickly about this son, and I was just an outsider watching and witnessing their grief. Well, I took a moment and just offered up a silent prayer, as I often do, and asked for the Holy Spirit to give these people some comfort in their grief. But you know, sometimes our thoughts and prayers seem kind of feeble. in the face of such pain. And I found myself wishing I could do more. A common phrase that I use, a lot of people use, when we learn of a tragedy is, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And they are. I'll often lift up a prayer for people I've heard about that are impacted by some tragedy like an earthquake or accident or shooting, which we had far too many of. And when I hear the news and say that my thoughts and prayers are with you, I carry that with me during the day, sometimes during the week. I add it to my prayer list. But again, it seems so limited. And while I clearly believe in the power and the healing of prayer, I do think that many times we're called to do more than just offer our thoughts and prayers. That sometimes we are called to do is to bring the healing touch of Jesus into the lives of people who are hurting. Sometimes I believe God calls us to do something, not just pray, even though prayer is a powerful force. Well, in our scripture reading for today, we read about a woman who had been afflicted by severe bleeding for 12 years. And she had gone broke, paying the doctor's bills, yet things only seemed to be getting worse. But she heard of this man called Jesus, a great teacher who performed miracles of healing. So she sought him out. She followed after the crowd that had gathered around him, hoping just for a touch from him, or even just by maybe touching his cloak, that she might find some kind of healing power for this terrible physical ailment that she was suffering through. So she reached out and touched his cloak. And the scriptures say the bleeding stopped immediately. And the Bible says that she had this feeling inside of herself that she was healed of her troubles. Just a touch of the cloak of Jesus was all she needed for healing. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus was immediately aware that healing took place. He knew that someone in need had reached out for his healing touch. And it says that Jesus knew that power, energy had gone out of him. And he asked his disciples for help, identifying who it was that touched him. And the disciples, I love the disciples, they just seemed so puzzled by all of this thing. And they probably responded to Jesus' request by saying something like, "Hey, come on, Jesus, we're in a crowd. How are we going to know who touched you, and why is it such a big deal?" But Jesus wanted to know. He wanted to know because there's more to healing than just eliminating physical symptoms. He wanted to make a connection with this woman to help her to heal emotionally and spiritually as well. He wanted her not to just be healed, but to be whole. It says in the text that the woman realized what was going on and that she fell to the feet of Jesus, trembling in fear, and that she told Jesus the whole story. And then Jesus said this to her, and I love this. He said, my daughter, your faith has made you well. Now go in peace and be healed of your trouble. Notice that Jesus uses the title daughter. It is the only recorded use of that word by Jesus. It is a significant relationship with her that went beyond just the physical act of healing. Before this encounter, she was a faceless person in the crowd who simply touched his cloak. But now there's this connection that's been made. And not just a connection that fixed a broken body, but a connection that brought healing to a broken heart. For you see, this woman had no doubt been an outcast for the past 12 years. In that day, her condition was seen as unclean. Her condition would have been referred to as an organic disease of the uterus. And as a result, she was marginalized in the Jewish culture. They saw that everything that she touched was viewed as contaminated and unclean. In Leviticus 15:19-31, it paints a clear picture of the seriousness with which Jews handled the uncleanliness from a woman's monthly discharge. Her continual bleeding made her unclean all of the time, and therefore unacceptable to anyone and an outcast. Can you imagine? So there's little doubt that this woman not only suffered from physical implications of her illness, but that she no doubt suffered a great deal of emotional pain and spiritual lostness. She was isolated. So Jesus told her after she had been healed from her physical condition that it was her faith that made her well. We don't know how all this works, but there is a healing power that comes from faith, and that we as Jesus' disciples have the power to bring healing and hope to people in despair. Jesus is often referred to as the great physician, but the healing that Jesus dispensed was more than physical. It was holistic, and it involved the total person, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. Now, I hope you understand this major point I want to make. Jesus once told his disciples that they would do far greater things than he did. In other words, the disciples of Christ were also given the power of healing. Now, follow me here. If you are a follower of Christ, you are a disciple, and if you are a disciple, God can use you to bring his healing touch to other people, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. Well, how? Well, let's start with prayer. When we, as God's people, lift up people in prayer, we're asking for God's healing touch. We don't know how it works. Our earthly wisdom hasn't figured that out, but we just know that we're instructed to pray. That's what Jesus said we should do. So we pray. We pray for a lot of people around here. We pray for people who are suffering from physical afflictions. We pray for individuals who are going through challenging times. We pray for families that are grieving and in emotional pain. We pray for people who are far from God. We pray for the safety and protection of those who are in harm's way. Our prayers are an extension of God's healing touch. Second, we bring God's healing when we stop and we look and we connect and we listen to people in pain who cross our path. When the woman reached out to Jesus, he didn't just keep walking. He stopped. It's kind of hard to do sometimes for us, isn't it? We're so busy just keeping going. We've got so much to do, and we don't want to mess up our schedules. But you know, when we see an opportunity for healing, we need to stop, just as Jesus did. Maybe it's to console a child who's frightened or crying. Maybe it's to pay attention to an elderly person who can't figure out the self-service scanner at Wegmans, like me. There are times that God's healing touch will come through you if you learn to stop. And after Jesus stopped, he looked around. What's going on with this crowd? He took in the situation, and he sought out the woman who had touched his cloak. And my impression is that he looked directly at that woman in the eye, and he connected with her with a sense of compassion. Most people in her life looked the other way. But Jesus locked eyes with her. He acknowledged her, and he acknowledged her worth. The third thing that Jesus does in this healing encounter was he listened. The text tells us the woman told him her whole story. Sometimes that takes a while. But Jesus listened. So Jesus took the time not only to listen, but to hear what the woman was saying, her emotions, her feelings. You know, sometimes we do feel powerless in the healing process. We think that healing belongs to the hands of the doctors and nurses and medical personnel. But God has given all of his disciples, including you and me, the ability to play a part in the healing process of people who cross our path. And one other part of the healing process I want you to think about today comes from what we say. What words do we use with other people? We can choose words that bring healing in our encounter with people, or we can choose words that hurt. Jesus once told his disciples that the tongue is the most dangerous of all weapons. While it can bring words of healing, it is also capable of bringing words that hurt rather than heal. So we need to be careful and deliberate about the words that we use. A number of years ago, my brother worked for Dow Chemical Corporation, and they had this campaign, and they had signs and bumper stickers, and it was a big deal. And I thought it was powerful for a profit company to be putting this out. But their billboard said, "People are fragile, handle with care." People are fragile, handle with care. Now I want to close with this. I don't think that extending a healing touch is just an individual thing. It's part of our role as a body, as the body of Christ, as the church. And God can and is using us in many ways as we seek to be a church that brings healing to people. We all know there's a lot of pain in our world. People are wounded by their addictions, by alcohol and drugs. People are wounded by abusive family patterns. People are wounded from malfunctioning relationships, economic uncertainties, illness, unforeseen circumstances. Few of us have managed to navigate life without encountering such pain. And Christ's desire for the church is to be a place of healing, a community of healing, where Christ's touch is felt. That's why we need to pray for one another. We need to celebrate with each other. We need to walk with each other. We need to mourn with each other. We need to stop and look and listen to each other. And we need to use words of healing. That's why we need to keep our doors open to groups like AA and Eaters Anonymous and small groups that are supportive little communities that can bring healing, the healing touch of Jesus. It's so important. Because God is still in the business of healing. And God wants to use each of his disciples, including you and me, in being his healing touch to hurting people. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to realize that we can bring your healing touch to those who are hurting through our prayers, by stopping, by looking people in the eye, by connecting, by listening and really hearing, by our words, by our actions. Help us to be people who extend the healing touch of Jesus. And help us to continue to be a church that extends the healing hand of Christ. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.